Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com. All right. Hi, everyone. Lisa Resnick, Holmes & Hops. I am with the one and only Andrew DiPaolo, WFMJ.
So, what's up, Lisa?
Wait, you have to talk into the mic.
Do you have to talk into the mic?
Yes. How are you?
Good, good. We haven't been on a podcast in a while.
A long time.
Yeah.
You can swear on this one, too.
Oh, good. Good. Yes. I'm not going to because I'm sure the station's watching. But so I'm going to be on my best behavior. But
so how's everything going? So
good.
So clearly we have an image of Andrew here in the snow. So where is this again?
Yeah, we are recording this in July. And no, it didn't just snow. There is Christmas in July. So this was on South Avenue near Western Reserve there by that Shell station. And this was one of those mornings where we got like 5 or so inches of snow and it was tough to travel. And we were doing snow lives as I normally do during the winter. So that was one of the shots of...
Do you enjoy going out there with this weather?
You know, it's not horrible. I'm mixed because it's like, it's such a rush doing it because I love weather so much.
Yes.
But then when I'm done, I'm like, that was really cold.
Yes.
You know, and I'm, because my max temperature that I've covered was a few years ago. Do you remember when it just like plummeted temperature wise?
And yes.
I remember midday I was outside of the station live. It was 40 below zero with a wind chill.
That's insane.
It was insane. Yeah, it was. I felt so sick after it. It was such a weird feeling. Like my eyes hurt.
Do you ever
so
wonder
weird.
Then after? Because I agree with you. It's insane. It's super cold. But then you'll be driving somewhere, and then you'll see some runner out there, like running right. down the road, and you're like, "Are you crazy?
Right.
What's wrong with you?"
Right.
Like
right.
I get it, but there is.
Yeah,
such
no, you
a
should
as,
get it. Yeah.
There is such a thing called a treadmill.
Like, right. Exactly. I don't know.
Some
you know, runners
just,
are runners, I guess. You know?
I know. There is some screw loose a little bit with right. runners. 100% agree. And I am one, so.
Right.
And probably those that know me would say the same thing. But so what about storm chasing?
I did that in 2014 when I graduated college.
Okay.
So that was fun. We didn't see any tornadoes, but we went down. We traveled from Athens through Kansas into Oklahoma City. And did like Oklahoma, like parts of Oklahoma. We stayed the night in Norman, Oklahoma. It was a long trip.
Yep.
Probably would do it again, but it was definitely a long cross country trip. And it was insane. Like lightning wise, hail wise, like tornado. It's like a sport out there.
It is.
So you have like a gravel road full of 40 cars and it's a one way road. Like you're not getting out.
So that movie Twister,
yeah,
it's legit. Like people are really, there's a caravan of cars trying to find the tornado,
right.
trying to find that next storm.
Yeah, if you're not really careful, I mean, it's really dangerous. I mean, if you get into a situation where like a tornado, you know, twists its path twist or something and
yep.
you're on a gravel road or even if you hit, you know, some kind of cell or supercell that's really high precipitation. So basically zero visibility. I mean, you're screwed, you know, you can't get out of a situation. And sometimes you don't even know that you're in a tornado when you're in those like kind of high precipitation, low visibility type of events. So
I will never, ever, ever, ever do something like that.
Oh, yeah. You've got to be there are like guided tours out there and everything. You've got to be really, really careful and like really know your stuff because it can be pretty dangerous.
Was there like a moment growing up in your life that you had that like epiphany where you're like, I want to do the weather. Like, I think this would be phenomenal
yeah.
to chase after a storm, to stand outside
in the middle of snow,
in snow at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
Like, was there a moment like that?
Yeah. You know what? It's kind of funny. A lot of meteorologists and people that study atmospheric scientists, they all kind of know really early on that they want to do that, study the atmosphere, study the weather, study the climate. I was in the second grade at St. Charles when I was like, yeah, I kind of want
to
like study
St. Charles.
Did you really?
Yes.
You went to Mooney as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Look at that.
I had the trifecta though with YSU. You went to OU.
I went to OU. Yeah. So, yeah, but it was early on. And then from there, I just kind of pursued it at Mooney and, pursued it when I went down to OU. That's where my bachelor's degree is from.
So wait. I think we had second grade, St. Charles.
Second grade, St. Charles, Mrs. Okay. Marsh's class.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is when you had your moment where you're
that
like,
was like, I like the weather. I think, I mean, it was so juvenile at that point. What
was it? Did she teach you something about it? Or
I think we were learning, I think in the second grade, you're learning pretty much the basics of weather, clouds.
I mean, it must have stuck with you because I don't remember anything I learned in the second grade.
Well, I even now, like going into schools, elementary schools, mm-hmm. to kind of give class visits, second grade, third grade. I mean, that's when you're learning the basics of like clouds and wind and temperature and all that sort of tornadoes and kind of natural disasters and real on the real basic level. So I think it was just there when I was just fascinated by it. But
so, So when did your fascination of beer come?
When I was 21, exactly, right on the minute of 21. I think, well, I don't know about you, Lisa, in college, I mean, you drink like the bottom in college.
Oh, yeah.
In the college. But it was probably like
Beast, Natty Light.
Yeah, Beast like, Ice. Yeah. There were a brief stint with Bud Light, but only
a
brief stint.
You drank it with pride, too.
Yeah, you did. You're like, look what I got, you know? It was probably like my junior year of college that, you know, we all had turned 21. I was with a group of friends that I'm still really close with. And, you know, we'd always go to the Kroger down at OU and try and find all these craft beer bottles. And at that point in 2011, craft beer was kind of fairly new. I mean, as far as like a really big boom type of thing, there was certainly plenty of it out there. But I mean, especially in Ohio, I mean, you had your
Yes, you know, true.
You had your big dogs, you had your Great Lakes.
Yes, you did.
But everything was kind of microbrewery-ish at that point. Jackie O's did not distribute until 2015, until I was out of college.
Okay.
So we had Jackie O's. I grew up on Jackie O's. Razzwee, Chomo, Mystic Mama. I mean, those were the original recipes that we kind of grew up on at OU, which is like, it's so much better down there. Brewed in their original system than actually in a can, but
so you drank well while you were in college.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, we there was a bottle shop down there, and like Kroger had a really good beer selection, but like yeah, we really kind of grew up on Jackie O's and on some different stuff. I mean, that's where I really started to love the real piney West Coast IPAs.
Oh, okay.
You know, because like Rogue was big, like Stone was big back in 2011, 2012, and from there it was just kind of like. Kind of grew.
And you've definitely grown within the craft community here as well. What did you bring us?
So tonight? I brought, I've got a kegerator at home and we just ran out of, I know I added a tap to it. So it's a double tap kegerator now.
Nice.
So I have Dortmunder.
You needed more options.
Right. Exactly. We just ran out of Dortmunder. But I have Speedy Penguino in my keg, and then for Birdfish, of course. And
that's the Mexican lager.
This
right?
is the Mexican lager.
Okay.
And this is Goonie. This is the light lager.
Oh, I've never tried that. That's Birdfish as well.
This is Birdfish's new light lager that comes in a 19.2 ounce can. So
let's try some Goonie.
All right, cool.
Everybody, let you pour to the sound.
Look
there
at
you
that.
Go.
I'll let you pour it here. Your podcast. Yeah, your podcast, your pour.
I mean, how many ounces is this?
19.
That's huge.
So it's a tall boy.
It is.
Yeah, they do that for a couple of them. They're. Thank you.
Here, I'll let you pour.
Thank you. They're Bird, Larry Birdfish. They're blonde ale.
Yes.
They do that, and they've got a Hefeweizen too, that they do in like a big can. So. Yeah.
So when are you going to start traveling the world and tasting beer everywhere?
You know what? As soon as that money trigger is in my yard. but yeah, I would like to get to Germany or like
that's really
England.
Good.
Yeah, it's super good.
Is that a little bit banana flavor in it?
Yeah, it's real. I mean, it's real light and it's real clean.
It's really good. Definitely go for it. What's it called? The Goonie?
Goonie. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a great summer beer.
So do you ever think that you can like merge the whole weather beer thing together?
Some people have told me like you should create a small brewery and do like a weather theme thing. But it's so, I mean, knowing those guys down there and like knowing how much work people put into breweries around the area. I mean,
it's a lot.
It's a lot of work.
I mean, these guys are, they're all of them. They're up at like 4 or 5 a.m. right. in the morning. They're brewing at that time. That they're right. of course they're at their establishments working yeah. there. The marketing, everything. It's
a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. It's a 24/7 job what they do. And I appreciate it because I get to enjoy.
Because you get to enjoy.
Exactly.
When I brew snow days with Birdfish, I'll go down there and brew it with them. I mean, and it's an 8 to 10 hour day.
And you have quite a few drinks out there.
I do.
So you actually have the whole system down pat.
Yeah.
You're like, I get to enjoy the beer.
Yeah.
So I don't have to have the brewery.
Yeah.
And I still get to create the beer.
Exactly.
And not have to deal with it. And then I also, again, get to go and hang out with these guys, which yeah. is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the craft beer community and like just the kind of craft beverage community in the area is just so super tight. And everyone's like real chill and everything. So it's really like an ideal community, which is nice. And we all get to kind of enjoy all their hard work and everything.
This is true. So let's yeah. talk about some of your drinks that you've created with these guys.
So Snow Days is Birdfish. That is a hazy white IPA. It's super good. It's super crisp. Our idea of it was you're basically walking out on a snow day and like none of the snow has been touched yet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just as crisp and like bitter as like just like you walking out on a cold snowy day and like you take that first breath of cold air. So it's a nice one. It's really a light one. It's just over 6%. And we usually brew it in late December, early January. It kind of fluctuates every year. This year, I think it was just after New Year's Day and it was done late January.
Okay.
So, and we got to brew it.
I wish the snow stopped then too.
Right. Exactly. It actually snowed on the day we brewed it.
That's perfect.
And the day that we tapped it, which was really cool.
That is perfect.
Yeah. So we didn't technically brew any in 2020, but it was the winter of 2020, 2021. And then I brewed 2019 to 2020. So it's kind of just fluctuates how often we do that. And then we've got the Sundog.
That's right.
The Apollo 13.
Yes.
which is a mango peach cider. And that's always on tap at Homestead next door to Sundog.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you're definitely out there. Yeah. So that's great.
I'm glad people enjoy my work on TV and want to kind of brew drinks with me. So it's cool. Yeah.
But you also, not only do you do weather on TV, but you also go to a lot of the small businesses that we have in our viewing area,
right.
which is awesome. And you get them the ability to get out there and be more known that someone like me who... Granted, I'm not up at 3 a.m.
Right.
I'm probably not up at your first time around when you're live with people, but I'm up the second time at right. least. And I get to see you guys at these establishments. And I love it. I love the fact that WFMJ does that.
Yeah, it's, you know, we get so much praise for it and rightfully so. The segment, the segments, interviews are so cool that we get to go out, like you said, and feature and expose these businesses. You know, Milena and I, during the pandemic, were still able to go out and feature
yes.
small businesses on our own. And we were kind of thankful for that. And I think the businesses were too. It was a time, you know, especially when the shutdown first happened, the lockdown mm-hmm. first happened, when local businesses needed local media's help more than ever.
So
to expose them, to let people know what they were doing. Because it was a time where we all kind of needed to kind of pitch in and keep each other safe, but also find a way to kind of help keep each other afloat, you know?
Yeah.
But I love doing them. It's something that my news director let me do 2-3 years ago. I started it, and Milena and I go to all over the place and do different stuff. And I love when people come up to me and tell me, hey, we saw that segment.
Mm-hmm.
We were down at X, Y, or Z business because we saw you guys on the air. So it's really fulfilling to us to help them out.
So when they show the food, do you get to actually taste the food that they're presenting? Or like when the segment's done and they've already recorded, do you have the chance to be like, all right, let me see if this burger is as good as it looks?
Yeah, usually they're whipping up some food early on in the morning, and we get to kind of taste test some things afterwards or share with our colleagues back at the station. And I mean, they don't want to go to waste, so they usually make as much food as possible. And
what about the breweries? So the wineries, do you get to taste that as well?
I taste it after I'm done with my work. After I'm done, I might do a little small taste test just to try something early on in the morning, but nothing more than a sip. And then afterwards, after I'm done with work, I'll enjoy it. But and I'll take it home with me. But yeah, it's always a fun perk when we go to those restaurants and everything.
That is pretty cool. It is. That'd be a perfect perk. I wish I had my job. Right. Actually, never mind. I do have that my job, don't I?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe it was the plan.
Right. Exactly. It's nice because it breaks up. I mean, there's so much stress when it comes to the meteorology side of things. I mean, not a lot of people would think there was a lot of stress involved, but it's very stressful. There's a lot of science. So it's nice to have those kind of fun and lighter segments to break up my week. So
there's a ton of science when it comes mm-hmm. to meteorology.
Yeah.
Which that was the hardest C I ever worked for in my entire life was like intro to weather right. at YSU. And I was like, I don't understand. It's what is it? High pressure, low pressure. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. Like, why am I failing these tests? But there's a lot more science mm-hmm. than one would anticipate. It's not as easy as people think.
No, it's really difficult. I had to take a bunch of meteorology courses at OU, obviously. I also had to take three physics courses. I had to take two calculus classes and then a differential equations class, which is like one of the topper tier math classes. So I had to take that, chemistry. So the whole gamut of science, which I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult stuff. It's
but
definitely
like,
a struggle.
Damn it. I've been wanting to do this since right. I was in second
yeah.
grade.
You've got
I'm
to definitely
not change this now.
You've got to definitely be motivated to kind of continue because it's definitely, I mean, there were plenty of times where I was like, I don't know if I can keep going with this. It's so difficult. But I think one of the big things that really drove me forward was the fact that we have a studio at OU. Okay. It's a television station that broadcasts to 55 counties in Ohio.
I did not know that.
Southern Ohio, West Virginia, and portions of Eastern Kentucky.
Okay.
Yep. Between the radio and the television side of things. It's called WOUB.
Okay.
So I was on the air. People could see me on the air. It was a PBS station, so it came in over the air and on cable. It was so funny starting out and then kind of progressing because when I started out, I was on a green screen with an IFB, so the earpiece.
Okay.
That was attached to the wall. The microphone was attached to the wall, and the clicker was attached to the wall. So I was like a puppet, like doing this weather. I couldn't move, like all but in a little square box. Like I couldn't really move.
So you've probably seen a lot of technological advances.
Yeah. And we finally got wireless, like my junior year, and it was the biggest thing ever.
Do you remember when the whole touch thing?
Yeah.
When you were able to do that. Like,
yeah.
I just remember watching on the huge media outlets, like the first time that came about.
Right.
You could tell like how excited oh my goodness. I can't believe I'm forgetting the name. Not anchors. The news people.
Yeah.
There you go.
Reporters and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Reporters. That's how that like often they use it. And you're like, at one point, you're like, all right, back it down. You don't have to touch the screen for everything that you do.
Right.
It's okay.
We got the technology. We're going to use it. It was really cool. But yeah, I got plenty of practice there. And I think that's what helped me really motivated me to continue was the fact that I was seeing how well I was doing on the air. I had an internship in Columbus, but job offers were few and far between. I had two.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had here. And Rylander, Wisconsin.
Oof.
Yeah, which is way north.
Yeah.
And way cold and plenty of snow. So
yeah, the snow would have been more than five inches there standing outside at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. It was brutal. But I got a call from our news director, Mona, and she was like, we got this weekend morning show we're planning. This was back in 2014. And I was part time for a year. I had to make my way up to the full time. I did it because I loved it. And a year later, I was full time. I worked weekends for about 5 years, and now I do the midday. So,
do you have any funny story?
Somebody asked me the other day, like, what's your most embarrassing moment,
yes.
like doing like live? And I didn't. I was like, I don't know. I kind of was like frazzled by it. I was like, I don't know. But then I thought of it.
Like, I never make a mistake.
Right. I thought of it. So. I was with a car dealership in the area that will go unnamed because they do a really good job. And this was a very small little blip in on their radar. But
okay.
We were taking a certain vehicle out that was supposed to get like X miles per gallon, like a ton of miles per gallon. Okay. So it was like this hybrid vehicle. And we were like, we'll take it out. We'll start at your dealership. We'll go to town one, town two. And we ended up in Canfield to show that we went all these miles and we filled up our tank and it was less than like 1 gallon of gas. Okay. So we were proving it was like a ton of miles per gallon. So everything's going great. Well, we get there and the salesperson of unnamed car dealership put his card in advance of the live shot. Someone went live. The whole thing froze up.
No.
The whole meter, the pump froze up and they're like, see gas attendant, see attendant inside. And I was like, I don't know what to do. So we did a Facebook Live afterwards and I'm like, hopefully nobody saw that. So we were in Canfield at the get-go and I walked next door to Starbucks. First two people were like, hey, wow, that was weird, right? And I was like, oh my God. Then post office dude downtown was like, hey, I saw you guys. You screwed up, huh? And I was like, what? So yeah, everyone saw it. But that was probably top.
I wish I would have seen it.
It was more embarrassing for him than me.
Can we Google this?
Yeah, I think you can Google it probably. Maybe.
Okay. Oh, but we don't know the name of the gas station.
No, you don't. It was a Gecko. It was Gecko in Canfield. But I will not say the
Did everything else turn out right?
Well, that's the thing. It was all perfect up until that like one moment. And then he put like his card in. I go, well, hold on. We got like 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I'm fine. So he puts his card in and I was like, hey, it's going to like freeze up. And it did. So I don't know. But I don't think he's at the dealership anymore. So I don't know.
That was it for him.
That was it for him. Yeah. But that was probably the most embarrassing moment that I can recall being on live television.
What's your most fun experience?
Okay. So the coolest story that I've ever done was Cleveland, NASA Glenn Research Center in Cleveland, right by the airport, is like this massive complex. And they've all got all these different labs and all these different like testing facilities. And we were up there to do a story on their Venetian atmospheric simulator. So they're pumping all these gases in.
I'm impressed that you were able to say that.
Yeah. They're pumping all these gases in that like mock the Venetian atmosphere because they're testing materials to build a shuttle or not build a shuttle, but build a kind of unmanned shuttle to try and land on the surface of Venus in the future.
Okay.
So that's what their goal was. So they're like, yeah, we put a piece of metal in there. And the next day it disappeared. I go, well, what do you mean it disappeared? It evaporated. Metal. It evaporated.
With the atmosphere that they were creating.
Mm-hmm. It completely evaporated. Metal. Like I was like, I can't wrap my mind around this object evaporating.
That's amazing.
It was crazy.
That's scary.
They're like, oh, we also created new forms of mass. There's gas, solids, liquids.
Yes.
We created hybrid forms in this simulator. Based
Did
off
you get
of,
to see any of this in action?
They were like, we're not going to run it because if something goes wrong,
you may disappear.
You'll die instantly. I was like, well, we won't run it. But I was able
you're
to
like,
see.
I'm okay.
I'm okay. I was able to see the actual simulator. It's probably the size of, I'm probably 15 feet long, maybe 10 to 15 feet long. And then they'll put things in there. They'll close it off. They've got all these tanks of gas that they'll pump in right to the top. And then they'll put different materials on there. So metal, X, Y, Z. And they'll test how they do based off of what they're pumping in.
So basically it's to find out whether or not any of us would implode if we were on Venus.
Uh-huh. Right. And if they can send a like unmanned craft there. Yeah.
Like what happens if we do wear this outfit on Venus?
Right.
Will it last or will that disappear as well? That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is amazing what we are able to do.
Right.
It's just absolutely crazy.
And one of the lead engineers on the project was from Poland, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was really cool. So that's one of the coolest stories that will always stick out to me is that just how insane the science was just like right there and how like nonchalant. They're like, yeah, we evaporated metal. And I'm like, what? Like metal doesn't evaporate. They're like, it does here. And I'm like, okay.
That's awesome. So I have to ask this question because, you know, it's me and I have to ask this.
Right.
How often does this happen? The weatherman experience, like everybody has that movie with Nicolas Cage and right. the weatherman with like the shake being thrown at him and stuff like that. How often do you face those experiences? Because we do. I know I've texted you
right.
saying, what is up with this weather? What's going on? I don't believe there was any fair warning to this. Like, so how often does that happen?
Well, I get kindly heckled a lot. Like, like people will razz me a bunch. Thankfully I don't get a lot of like really mean negative comments, which is nice. There are plenty to go around though from people, which is just insane. But yeah, sometimes people will be like, ah, this wasn't, you know, and just stuff changes sometimes, man. Like sometimes just things happen. Like it's really tough.
You literally have to watch the radar 24/7 to be able to talk about like a micro storm that might pop up. Like yesterday mm-hmm. was insane. Were you downtown at all during the storm yesterday between like 4:30, 5:30?
No, I was downtown at the station working on an assignment. So I wasn't up in the weather center. Eric was, but yeah, I mean, this is just this time of the year where, you know, now where there's just so much moisture in the atmosphere that, I mean, you could get storms with just plenty of heavy rain and it'll just seem like a hurricane's coming through, you know?
That's true.
And it just takes a little bit of wind too, to kind of add to that. So, the other thing people don't realize is we get a lot of pictures of trees down and people are like, oh, a tornado ripped through or a microburst ripped through. A microburst is just like a quick, real quick blast of wind out of a thunderstorm.
Okay.
But
I want to say that happened yesterday.
Yeah, well, the thing is roots of trees, when it rains heavy, will loosen.
Yes.
So it only takes, like, it takes a good gust of wind
yes.
to knock one down, but that doesn't necessarily mean that a microburst happened. So we had that last week in Fowler Township. People were like, oh, a microburst happened, and it just, it rains so heavy that it doesn't take a whole lot for a tree to fall, but You need a strong wind, but not necessarily a severe wind.
People don't think about that, about yeah. how if you have how many days of rain, it does. Like the roots of the trees do loosen, and mm-hmm. and unfortunately, you should be a little bit more cautious, especially walking around the park or something like that.
Right, right, absolutely. So yeah, it's just it just seems like one storm after the other the past couple of weeks. It's been quite an annoying pattern. So
like San Diego weather would be boring to you.
Yeah. 73, you get the Pacific jet like, coming down. It's yeah. pretty temperamental. Yeah. 73 and sunny. That's pretty 75 and sunny. That's pretty.
You're
pretty
like,
boring. Yeah,
it is what it is. People.
Well, it's annoying, but then you're like, there's stuff to talk about though.
Yes.
There's always something to talk about. There's always something to do. So it's kind of like you don't realize, you know, how kind of good you have it with how busy you are until it's like there's a quiet stretch or you're like, you want the quiet stretch for a little bit, but you always want that kind of severity to come back. So
you've been watching what's going on in Florida?
Yeah. Thankfully Elsa hasn't been too bad. Been a tropical storm for the most part. Category one hurricane briefly.
You've been named after, your name is
Andrew.
Been,
yeah, retired. Right. Yeah. I'm a retired storm. Yeah. Down in Florida too. And, thankfully just some heavy rain and some, from what it looks like, some pretty minor flooding with some minor damage. There hasn't been, from what I've seen, any fatalities, really any injuries. I'm sure plenty of power outages, probably a decent amount of damage, but not too much structural damage based on the fact that it was just a tropical storm.
Yes.
Winds were at 50 or so today. Gusts were at 70, I think, today. So it's going to quickly move. It's fizzling out of the Carolinas. So I've got some buddies that are, him and his wife live down in Raleigh, and they're like, yeah, it's just kind of lightly raining right now. So it's fizzling out pretty hard as it makes its way up towards, New England. So, which is good.
Now, how often do your friends such as myself text you throughout the day asking you about the weather?
On a severe weather day, my dad will call me in the middle of, hey, what's going on? Like, when is this? And I'm like, I'm on the air.
I'm on the air.
Yeah. I get it every now and then. Yeah. But I try to answer. It's just sometimes I'm on the air, you know.
I try to be cognizant of the time. And actually, my husband will be like, he's on air, Lisa. Don't text him yet. So So I try to make sure that I wait until after.
Yeah.
And then I'll bother you. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This has been awesome. Real quick before I want to do the three rounds. I know you've answered these questions before.
Okay.
But you never know. People's favorites change.
Yep.
Instead of favorite brewery, tell me your favorite beer.
Local beer or just type of beer?
Local beer.
Local beer. I won't say Snow Days because that's just bias.
Very true.
Okay. I want to think of a different one here. You know what? Noble Creatures Oats Lager is really good.
Nice.
Yeah. That's my favorites are always changing, but we'll go with that one for now.
Okay, perfect.
This time of the year, love me a good lager and everything. Of course, this one is amazing as well.
It is.
But I don't think I said Noble Creature last time. So
we'll
just share
it's
the love.
Noble. Yep. Oats Lager.
Yep.
Okay. What's your favorite local restaurant?
We'll go with one we've been to recently. Oh boy. I'm trying to think of a different one that we haven't like been to recently or, Steamers is always good.
Steamers is good.
Steamers is always good. Yeah, I will go with that. I haven't been to Blue Wolf in like years and we went a couple weeks ago and that's always phenomenal.
They do a great job.
Yeah. So those two, and I'm trying to think of like another hole in the wall, place that, that many people probably haven't been to. I can't think of one right now, but we'll go with those two.
Okay.
Those are pretty good. I suggested that last night. A couple came into Sundog Cellars and I was like, you should go to Steamers.
So. Oh, you know, and I was just talking about Steamers yesterday too. I love the fact that it's attached to that motel.
Yeah.
I just feel like that was my draw. Not to say like, but I do. I think it's cool to have like Steamer, such a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
The food is amazing and it be connected to that motel.
It's like Station Square.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also a fantastic restaurant.
Yes, it
Lights
is.
Lights out. Everything they do.
It is a
so
fantastic
good.
Restaurant. Yeah. I haven't been there. Actually, the last time I was there was, I think, our last snowstorm.
Yeah.
And then last question. What's your favorite local gem?
Oh boy. Can you say one first and then I'll think of one while you say something?
Sure. Mill Creek Park.
Oh, all right. let's see here. Okay. Favorite gem. It's gotta be something. Why can't I think of anything right now? I mean, Mill Creek Park. Yeah. It's just,
it is.
Oh,
amazing.
You know what? We recently, we got to go back there. Yellow Creek Park, Dennis Struthers.
Yes.
Really nice hiking trails. Yeah. Really nice trails to walk through. So we were just there with a bunch of friends and that was really cool. So
it is, it's very beautiful over there.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well that's all I got there.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Fill this
and
up.
Only one more sip left too of this.
Cheers.
So
thanks for having me on.
Perfectly.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com.